We'd like to read in the Gospel by Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 and verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running, and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for a great possession. Now, the book of the Acts, chapter 24. Acts 24 and verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as the reason of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, Go thy way for this time. Felix trembled and answered, Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 20. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Now a final reading in chapter 16 of Acts. Acts 16 and verse 29. Then he called for a light, and sprang in and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Verse 34. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. That's all we'll read. The Lord will bless what we have heard. We trust help us further to preach the gospel from these four scriptures that we have read tonight. I would like to speak tonight in the grand theme of salvation. We have been reminded that no greater blessing could ever come your way or mine than the blessing of salvation. Salvation is the greatest thing that a person who received it could ever have gotten. But I would like tonight to apply it this way. Those in our company who are not saved, you are within reach of this salvation tonight. We read from Mark chapter 10. Here's a man who was within reach of salvation, but he missed it. Why did he miss it? Because it was not his priority. It was not all important to him. That's why he missed it. And if salvation is not all important to you, my friend, you could miss it and land in hell to be there forever. We read from Acts chapter 24. Here's a man by the name of Felix. He was within reach of salvation. As he listened to the word of God, he trembled. But yet he didn't get saved. Why did he not get saved? Because he procrastinated. That is, he put it off until another time. Has there ever been a time in your life whenever your heart was touched, whenever you had thoughts, I would like to be saved, but yet you put it off? Satan tries to hinder you. He makes the world look bright. Then he whispers in your ear, put it off another night. Did you ever experience that in a gospel meeting? The devil attends them. He's there for the purpose. Not that you might be saved, but that you might be damned. Felix within reach of salvation, and yet missed it, because he put it off. We read in Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 20, a very solemn verse. The harvest is past. The summer has ended, and we are not saved. Here are souls who were once within reach of salvation. Now their harvest is past. Their opportunities are all gone. Not saved. Never will be saved. Acts chapter 16. We have read of a man within reach of salvation, and he got it. Our prayer to God is that tonight you will get this great salvation. I look back 42 years when I got it. The greatest moment in my life, when as a lost sinner, I received Christ as my Savior. The jailer, within reach of salvation, and he got it. Why did he get it? Because he simply believed. Now, there's two things required for salvation. One is knowledge. Not the UBC knowledge. Not the Simon Fraser knowledge. What knowledge? The knowledge from God's book. That Christ, when he died upon the cross at Calvary, he died for my sin. Now I'm sure you would agree that you've got that knowledge. You know in the authority of God's word that if Christ died for our sin, he died for my sin. That's the knowledge. The second thing required is faith. That is to take God at His word and rest your soul upon it for eternity. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Faith to take God at His word and rest in Christ as your personal Savior. Friend, tonight, salvation's within your reach. Salvation within the reach of someone Sunday night. as out of the reach tonight. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. God doesn't promise salvation tomorrow. Many tragic things happen upon this world. Last Wednesday, I preached at the funeral service of a man in Nova Scotia. He went to work in the morning, healthy and strong. He had a tractor pulling a tree, a log. Something happened and must have hit a stump. That tree swung round, hit him in the head. Ushered out into eternity. Sitting in a gospel meeting on a Sunday night. The following Thursday morning, in eternity. A young man, a teenager, attended meetings Mr. McCracken and I had in Nova Scotia many years ago. He was anxious to be saved. He wept about his soul. His grandmother said to him, "You don't need to go to gospel meetings to get saved. You can get saved in your own church." He listened to his grandmother. He came back to the meetings. But he had no interest. He had lost it. He just came to please some of his friends. Those meetings closed. And inside 2 weeks, he cut down some Christmas trees with another young man to take them to New York for the sale. On their way to the Yarmouth ferry that goes across to the state of Maine. Going around a corner, the dayliner from Halifax to Yarmouth came around the corner. The truck that they were in hit the tail end of the dayliner. It burst into flames. The dayliner stopped. The conductor jumped out, pulled two young men out of that burning truck. An ambulance was called. There happened to be a nurse on the dayliner. And she got into the ambulance with those two young men. On the way to Yarmouth Hospital, about half an hour journey, that young man looked at the nurse. And he said, "Nurse, don't let me die. For I don't want to go to hell." She told us, she says, "All right, son. I won't let you die." But before Richard Britton reached Yarmouth Hospital, he was in eternity. I stood and gazed at the remains of that young man lying in the casket. Once he sat in gospel meetings, the Spirit of God moved in his soul. Salvation was within his reach. As I looked at him, as far as I know, according to his own testimony, his harvest is past. His summer ended. Not saved. Not saved. You are within reach of salvation tonight. Is it your priority? Here's a young man comes running to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's interested in eternal life. You could have no greater interest than this subject of eternal life. You may be interested in dollars and cents. Ah, friend, this goes far beyond the things of life. This is something that's for eternity. I made my fortune before I came to Canaan. Because I got Christ. I was born twice in the one village. Born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Parents saved. That didn't save me. But 21 years later, in that same village, as a lost sinner, one Thursday night, December the 14th, 1950, I put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for eternity. That was the happiest moment in my life. Yet I don't remember ever shedding a tear about my salvation. But after God saved me, I looked in the mirror above the fire pit. And I talked to myself, nobody there but me. I said, Bingham, you'll never be in hell. That brought worship. That brought thanksgiving from this poor mortal that God never received before. Thanking God for the Lord Jesus Christ for delivering my soul from going down to the pit. Salvation was within my reach, and I got it. I've never regretted it once, for one split second since. Do you think a person that's saved, did you ever meet one that was sorry they got saved? I have yet to meet one who was all bothered because they got God's salvation. This young man comes running. He seemed to be in earnest. He seemed to be wanting this salvation. But whenever it required a complete sellout, he wasn't willing. He went away sorrowful. Sometimes those who are accustomed to listening to the gospel, and others as well, they think, well, if I get this salvation, there'll be something I'll be missing. I thought the same. I thought, well, if I get saved, all my joy would be gone forever. No, friend. That is only the beginning of joy. The beginning of peace. A peace that the sinner received when they received Christ as their personal Savior. This young man had the right desire. Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Likely he had inherited his riches. But that's not how you get eternal life. The Lord Jesus said to him, sell all that you've got. Souls desiring salvation, there's always things the devil brings before them to block them and hinder them from getting to Christ. But this young man, it was his riches. That is, he had more love for his riches than he had for Christ and salvation. It was not his priority, eternal life. Is it yours tonight? Is it a must that you get saved? That you have a knowledge of your sins forgiven? Is it a must? If it's not, you'll not get saved. Those who get God's salvation are those who set all aside. I want to be saved more than everything else in this world. Friend, we trust by the Spirit of God that you'll get down to business, for this is for eternity. Now, salvation is within your reach tonight. It may not be within your reach tomorrow night. I knew a young man. I think of him often. I met his parents this year over in Ireland. One Friday night, his father said to him, John, I would like you to come to the gospel meeting with me. He said, Dad, I would like to go, but I have a date tonight. But I'll go on Sunday night. That was Friday night. Father said, all right, John, Sunday night. John went to see his date. 12 o'clock came, he wasn't home. 1 o'clock came, he wasn't home. Finally, a knock came to the door. Policeman. He said, Mr. McAllister? Yes. Do you have a son called John? He says, I do. What happened? He says, John has met with an accident. He's in the Royal Victoria Hospital in Belfast. He says, my advice to you is to get there as soon as you can. That father left home in a hurry, went to that hospital. There he looked upon his boy, who only 3 hours or 4 hours before said, Dad, I can't go to the gospel meeting tonight, but I'll go on Sunday night. In less than an hour, John McAllister was in eternity. Friend, within reach of salvation, it's a serious business. Did you ever count the cost if you would miss this salvation? Count it tonight. Think of a soul being cast into the lake of fire. Is that fact or fiction? My friend, it's in God's book. We believe with all our heart. It solemnizes our soul. Whenever we think of those who listen to us preach, many times we wonder, will they ever make it? Will they ever get saved? Salvation's within your reach tonight. Is it your priority? Salvation in Acts chapter 24 within reach of Felix. He trembled. He thought of meeting God. And he wasn't ready. But he evaded the issue. He says, go thy way for this time. Have you ever said that in your heart? Or in your action? Ever been impressed with the gospel of the grace of God? Ever realized I have a soul that's going to exist forever? Salvation within your reach. It'd be an awful place, hell, to think back from. To have had salvation within your reach. And yet miss it. Felix, what remorse throughout eternity. He simply put off salvation until another time and he missed it. Could you do the same? Are you doing the same? Friend, what about your soul? It's for eternity. Jeremiah chapter 8. Opportunities all gone. Harvest past. Summer ended. Not seen. Never will be seen. No salvation in hell. The Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin. He's got that power tonight. You can have your sins forgiven through simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we read of a man that got salvation. Why, he meant business. It says he called for light and he sprang in. What else mattered? Not a thing. I want to be saved more than everything else in this world. I look back to a night in my life. I stood in a billiard hall or a pool room floor looking at two chums of mine playing the last game. I had been to a gospel meeting. I had gotten a look into hell the night before and I trembled and I wanted to be saved. I didn't get saved in the Wednesday night. Thursday night I tried to get saved, tried to believe, tried to trust. Tried to come. Nothing worked. I waited for a feeling. Salvation's not a feeling. But I stood in that pool room floor looking. A thought came very forcibly into my mind. What's it going to be then? Your pleasure in sin and hell at the end or Christ and salvation. Right on that spot, I made up my mind. If God has salvation for me, I want it. I've got to get it. I turned to go home. Another chum of mine said, wait, I'll go home with you. No, sir. I ran home. Why? I wanted to be saved. Nothing else mattered in my life. This was all important. I've got to get it settled. I went home. Within 2 hours, I got it. I've never regretted it since. Friend, if you get to Christ tonight, if you need to get down to business, God has provided salvation for you. There's ample provision to meet the need of the world. Take a little fish, a goldfish in the Atlantic Ocean or the Pacific, afraid of draining the ocean dry. Impossible. Friend, God has provided a Savior. One that can meet your need. One that will meet your need. He is able to save every sinner that was ever born who is willing to trust His Son, to trust Christ, to accept Him, to believe on Him, to come to Him, to take Him. Luke 19, as Zacchaeus, to receive Him. He received Him joyfully. John 1, verse 12. But as many as received Him, that's me, I have received Him, to them give He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in His name. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Salvation's within your reach. Don't let it slip away. Go in for it. May God give you faith to take Him at His word and know your sins forgiven. Shall we? Our gracious God and Father, humbly we bow in Thy presence tonight, in that ever worthy and precious name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for the Savior of sinners. We thank Thee for the blood that was shed for the cleansing of sin. We pray that a soul tonight may trust the Lord Jesus Christ and know the joy and the knowledge of sins forgiven. We thank Thee for those who have come. We pray that Thou wilt move by the Spirit of God in this building and in this area and in this province, that many may be born again, and to God be the glory. Part us now with Thy blessing. We pray for those who are not saved, and yet to think they're within reach of salvation. Oh God, we know they could miss it. We ask that Thou wilt visit for Thine own glory. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now again, we give you a welcome to the gospel meeting tonight. Remember, the meeting's announced, and for those who are free to stay to pray. We need God. For a short time in the basement, we appreciate those who come. Number 40. Hark, sinner, while God from on high doth entreat thee, and warnings with accents of mercy doth blend, give ear to His voice, lest in judgment He meet thee. The harvest is passing. The summer will end. We'll just sing the first verse of number 40.